This is Suzuki from NTT, and I'd like to make a presentation of Postgres XC cluster together with Mason Sharp. We are working together on the development of this system. So today I'd like to talk about what PostgreSQL XC is. So fortunately, thank you very much for referring this project in some of the talk yesterday. And also, I'd like to talk about how we can achieve both read and write scalability with this system. And also, I would like to make a presentation about the component. We have three major components called Global Transaction Manager, and Coordinator, and a Data Node. And we'd like to present the current status and evaluation, as well as possible applications and remaining issues, roadmaps. So I found that some of you already downloaded some of the material from our site, so you must be very familiar with this system, but please let me introduce all these. So first of all, what is Postgres XC? It's a write scalable PostgreSQL cluster. With five servers, scalability is about 3.25 performance, compared with pure PostgreSQL. And we use this DBT1-based benchmark. So I will talk a little bit in detail later. And future is it's synchronous multi-master configuration. So any update from any master is visible from any other masters immediately. So it is a very good future of the system. And please note that this is not just a replication. I've heard that some of the guys here think that XC is the replication, but it is not the replication. Okay, we are using the combination of the table distribution, in other words, partitioning, and replication. Next, the other feature of PostgreSQL includes that the table location is totally transparent to the application. So table can be replaced or replicated or distributed by your choice. Yeah, but you should be very careful to choose all these combinations to utilize the parallelism among the involved servers. And also, you can also continue to use the same applications if it is not, say, affected by all these distribution or replications. And last thing is, we don't have to be worried about the transaction handling. So we don't have to distinguish the read transaction or updating transactions. Yeah, and all these are implemented based on the PostgreSQL, and also we provide the same API to applications. So these are the features of Postgres application Postgres XC. So we are targeting PostgreSQL to. Mainly to the short transaction applications, such like DBT1, DBT2, or maybe PGBench, or these kind of applications. So the good thing is that transactions can be executed in parallel in multiple data nodes. And also in the future, I think that the architecture can be applied to the complicated data warehouse, such like a DBT3 or this kind of applications. So in this case, instead of the transactions, but single statement can be divided into several pieces, which is executed in parallel in multiple data nodes. It is not available yet, but I'd like to extend XC to support this capability as well. So, if I talk very roughly, so what I'd like to do is, okay, so we'd like to have as many servers as we want for the performance and the capacity, and we have as many application servers as we like, and provide uniform interface to any of the applications. So please note that they are not just a replication. So, based on your choice, some table may be distributed and some table may be replicated. I think we don't need to emphasize this. Why we need write scalability? Everybody needs write scalability, or both read and write scalability. So I don't think I have to explain this very in detail. And also, we are based on the shared nothing architecture. So the reason is very simple. Yeah, most significant reason is it's very cost efficient. And we can build the system with only commodity hardware. It's very inexpensive. And with a shared nothing architecture, we have very good flexibility to deploy. So in summary, at the beginning, I'd like to talk about current status. So we have just released version 0.9. Oh, no, it's pointer missing, sorry. 0.9.1. And so with that, with this version, although we don't support the cross-node operation for the single statement yet, but you can issue almost all the statement which can be executed in a single node. And it's sufficient to run DBT1 and PGBench. At present we have the copy to from and aggregate functions, which includes the cross-node operations. So this is the very first version of our cross-node operation. And also it is very safe to update the replicated table from any master we can resolve any of the conflict update from multiple from more than one data node or transactions. I'd like to skip this one. I will explain later. So the basic idea how we can achieve read and write scalability is parallelism. So I aimed, to run transactions in parallel in different servers. This is a very basic idea of mine. So the next thing is, okay, so then how we can maintain the transaction control or transaction consistency? This is done by the two means. It is very similar to a single PostgreSQL case. We provide the transaction ID, it is global to each transaction running in some of the nodes. But there are no transactions which has the same transaction ID. And also we collect the status of each transaction when it is committed or aborted, to construct a snapshot, to maintain the MVCC visibility. So we extracted just two of them from standalone from standalone PostgreSQL to the global facility. And also, we need some global values to be provided, such like a sequence and a timestamp. We don't have a timestamp right now, but we do have a sequence. It is needed by dbt1. So this is what going to happen in the case. So at most, on the top, we have applications. And also, here's an SQL analyze layer, and here's a SQL execution layer. So you will see that SQL analyze layer well determines where the target data reside, and also so right now it just proxies, but SQL analyze layer can generate necessary statement to go to each SQL execution layer or SQL execution layer servers. This is how XC works in very short. So more practically, XC's configuration looks like this one. Okay. We have, in each server, we have coordinate IDs, SQL analyze server, and the data node, which practically takes care of each statement. And also we have GTM, Global Transaction Manager, which provides a global value and XID and a snapshot. So, and of course, you can install the coordinator to separate machines, but I think this is very simple configuration, and it is very convenient to control the load balance to achieve the good load balance among the servers. As I showed, so we have three components: GTM and coordinator and data node. And GTM is a kind of key point of the Postgres XC. So it controls all the global transaction management. And also, the key point is, we should combine the table, which is sometimes, some tables should be duplicated and some distributed. And at present, when we choose a table to be duplicated, the table is, copied to all the data node. And if we choose the table to be distributed, choose the key to use to determine where each tuple should go. And so in that case, in the case of a distributed table, so we don't, it is not, duplicated at all. It is distributed among, each tuple is distributed among that underlying data nodes. And so how we should choose, which table to be replicated or which table should be distributed? It is very simple, simple criteria. So, if the table is very dynamic or, updated by each transactions, such table should be distributed. But there are also very stable table which could be updated but not so often. So such table should be replicated among the data nodes so that most of the transaction is transaction, or most of the statement in a transaction system is the join among transaction table and the master table, so that we can avoid the cross node operations, and we can distribute each incoming transaction to many of the data nodes. Okay. I have told about GTMs, so please let me skip this. Yeah, this slide, and I hope that most of you are very familiar with GXID, XID, and Snapshot. So, so the interaction or so the handling of each statement is as illustrated in this chart. So, application issues statement. And coordinator goes to GTM for XID and global snapshot. And because global snapshot includes all the active transactions running whole in the system, so not necessarily in this coordinator, but also in other coordinator, so that this coordinator is very safe to go to any data node. And this also describes the same thing. And this chart it is quite in detail shows well how GTM monitors the status of each transaction and issue the snapshot. So in this case, we have three servers, and we have four transactions running. And GTM collects all the information about when the transaction begins and when it ends, when it commits or abort, and constructs the snapshot, global snapshot as needed. So in the case of server 1 and transaction 1, you see that server 1 has snapshot T1, T2, T3, and T2 and T3 is not running in server 1, but server 2 and server 3. And we need this information, when server 1 goes to server 2, when transaction 1 determines that some statement should go to here, server 2. Yeah, sorry. So this chart describes how GTM can be implemented. But please let me skip this too. But I'd like to say that in this case, GTM can be a bottleneck, performance bottleneck. Yes, it is. It can be. So in this implementation, we implemented a GTM proxy, which proxies all the requests from the given coordinator, and reduce the number of messages and the amount of data to be exchanged from coordinator to GTM. And also, somebody may say that so GTM can be a single point of failure. Yes, it could be. So, at present, as you see here, GTM can have some GTM standby, and the GTM can refresh which GXID to provide next. So. So that if GTM master fails, then standby can fail over. We have not implemented yet, but I think we can implement this, and GTM can be made in high available. So, do you have any questions so far? Yes, sorry.
Can the network be bottleneck too? Because every time a query comes from the application and to the coordinator, mm-hmm. and then it needs to check with the GTM, the XID number, or the sequence number, and the GTM has to reply to the coordinator. So the network can be a bottleneck too.
Yes, so I will show you. Well, we have evaluated the network. I've evaluated the network load average, and say with the 10 coordinate and data node, with a full load for the DBT1, the traffic between the traffic GTM is writing, the amount of the data GTM writing is about about 30 megabytes per sec. Because this write is between coordinate and GTM. So if we have more NIC in GTM, we can reduce the load of the workload for the network.
Also, just to add, there was a slide about the GTM proxy, and that's a process that runs on each coordinator, and it kind of collects requests before each backend interacts with the GTM. So, say at the same time, five backends say, "Hey, I need a global transaction."
Yeah.
That will be packed in one message. One request will go out, one response with the range, and then the proxy hands that back to the backend.
Yeah, and also the most of the data from GTM is snapshot. So with this configuration, if the backend asks for the snapshot, well, so this scans each requirement. So when the proxy found five or six snapshot request, it asks for just one snapshot. It is so it can represent all the snapshots for multiple backend. And yes.
So you're using two-phase commit or not?
Yes, internally. So internally. And any other? Yes. I'm sorry?
Can you use partition and replication of the same table at the same time?
No. A given table should be has to be either distributed or duplicated. Yes.
You said that the GTM can be a single point of failure, but when you are working with the table partitioned, any node can be a single point of failure too.
Right. So, we need some mechanism to make each node as a high availability ready, and so we are planning to use the streaming replication for this purpose. But for GTM, we need separate mechanism for HA configuration. That's it. It's okay? Okay, so I'd like to switch to Mason. For the coordinate and data node internal.
Okay, I'm just going to go over some more details about the coordinator and data node, since we kind of covered the global transaction manager already. This is another configuration with a separate layer of coordinators, but as Suzuki-san showed in an earlier slide on slide 13, it kind of makes sense to have the coordinator and data node process together because you get a nice distribution of workload. The coordinator in the current code, it's based on Postgres 8.4.3 as well as the data node. By the way, the coordinator and data node, they're both based on Postgres, and it's the same executable. You just pass in the appropriate flag to tell it run as a coordinator or run as a data node. So the coordinator is what accepts connections from the clients The clients don't interact with the data nodes directly. It'll parse requests, and then it looks at the requests, and then the PG catalog information, which contains partitioning type distribution information, and determines which node to execute the command on. It interacts with the global transaction manager to get XIDs, transaction IDs, and snapshots. And another thing the coordinator has is it has a pooler that it forks off when you launch to interact with the data nodes. I'll talk about that on a separate slide in a little more detail. And the coordinator actually sends down the transaction IDs and snapshots to the data nodes. I'll talk about that more as well. And the coordinator will use implicit two-phase commit if necessary behind the scenes. So the data node is where the user data is actually stored. The coordinator has a PG catalog database that it uses, but no user data is there. It's all down in the data nodes, either partitioned or replicated. So only the coordinators connect to the data nodes. The clients, the applications, do not connect to them. And the data nodes, it's pretty much, you know, Postgres 8.43 for the most part, but the main difference is it can accept external transaction IDs and snapshots to know in what context to execute. I'll talk a little bit about then how requests are handled and what's taken into consideration, how the data is distributed, the fact that we have a pooler, and that we really want to only involve nodes as needed. For example, we don't want to say for every request have a connection to every single data node and send down a begin on all. We really just want to involve nodes in transactions as needed. And of course, try and maintain a consistent view of the data via a global MVCC and manage our transactions. I'll just go through a couple simple examples. You can partition your data via hash partitioning, round robin, or replicated. And the way we do this is we extended the create table command. You can have an extra clause at the end. I should have made a slide for that, but it can say distributed by hash, column one, or distributed by replication, or distributed by round robin. So there are no extra config files or anything you have to worry about. You just send it a create table statement, and it'll take care of everything for you. And in the case of a hash partition, spread out your data. When the coordinator process is launched, it forks off a pooler process. And the coordinator, as it's processing commands, it'll see, oh, I need to get this data node involved. I need to get that data node involved in the transaction. So it will go to the pooler and say, hey, give me connections to these data nodes. And it sends the file descriptors over, and it will use those. And then when it commits, it sends them back to the pool. And again, since we have, we're talking about 10 coordinators, 10 data nodes, many clients, and then we want to potentially support even more nodes, we could have an explosion of needed connections, so having some kind of a pooling mechanism is useful. Also, since you want to kind of think about how you partition your data out and minimize having to resort to two-phase commits, say, hopefully your data is partitioned out in such a way that for your transactions, you're not going to have to hit up every node all the time. So having a pooler is then useful to share those connections amongst the coordinator backend processes. At the moment, what type of statements do we handle? Just very basic ones, pretty much your singleton, insert, update, delete, selects. But we've expanded that to recognize other cases as well, which I'll go into. And certain key commands that you need, like create index, things like that. kind of a focus in the coming months for us will be expanding the coverage of SQL that's supported. So the coordinator will take a look at the distribution information, determine where to execute. And if you have a very simple query, select star from my table, you know, it'll send it down to all data nodes and get the results back and proxy them back. At the same time, it'll recognize singleton cases and just, you know, send it to the single appropriate node. It will handle replicated tables too, and we'll try and recognize when it has to use two-phase commit. I'll go through a couple simple examples. You know, if you're selecting from a replicated table just via round robin, originally via round robin, it would determine, okay, I'll just go to a certain data, you know, pick a different data node each time to get the results back. Of course, if it's a replicated table and it's a write, it will actually synchronously update all, and then it will use two-phase commit. But your replicated tables are going to be your pretty, you know, fairly static tables that you aren't updating a lot anyway. But we added more logic because, you know, we talked about, well, we don't handle everything like cross-node joins yet, although we will be working on that. But in the meantime, also to handle them efficiently, we want to recognize cases. Oh, I've got a query where I'm joining two replicated tables together. That's another case where we can just execute it on one node. Another example, say we have a partition table, and tab one, it's partitioned on call one, so it maps to where we have a query that's comparing it against a literal constant. We can just, you know, send that through the hash function and see, okay, it's on node two, and then we will just execute that query on one single node. And then we just try, and efficiently proxy back the results. But we can't do that for all queries. So say we have a hash partition table, but we don't have a where clause that we can really use. In that case, we need to go to all nodes, and we do a network select so that we can get results as they're ready, and we'll proxy the D data row messages and collect command complete messages from all, and then, you know, send one command complete message when we're done. So just as we tried to add intelligence to efficiently process and be able to handle some cases without yet implementing cross-node support, we recognize cases like, okay, I got a partition table and I'm joining with the replicated table. That's safe to execute if we can determine where to execute it. That's safe just to push down. As well as you may be joining, you know, a parent and a child table. If they're partitioned, if they're being joined on their respective partitioning keys, we similarly know, okay, the data's co-located, they can be executed together down on the data node. So we recognize those cases as well. So right now, if you try and throw other SQL at it that it can't handle, you should get a message saying, you know, this is not yet supported. And as I said, we'll be working on expanding that support. So we want to minimize data node involvement. I mean, minimize grabbing connections to data nodes. So when we get a request, if we got to start a transaction, we'll get a global XID, an XID from GTM. And then as a new data node becomes involved in the transaction, you know, we'll grab that connection. And we send down then the transaction ID, the snapshot, and a particular statement. Right now, the coordinator tracks read and write activity. So yes, I know, a stored function may actually write, so it can be a little deceiving. Right now, we have a developer working on stored functions, and we're going to be making use of, immutable and stable and et cetera. But right now, if we see a select, we assume it's a read. Insert, update, delete, which will change again when we implement stored functions. So if we begin a transaction and read from two nodes but only write to one at commit time, we're just going to commit on the one node. But if we've written to more than one node, then we want to make sure we use two-phase commit. So two-phase commit really slows things down. I think in some tests we did, we saw like even just using a single node but forcing two-phase commit, it slowed things down by half, basically. So ideally, you partition out your data in such a way that you minimize that. But at the same time, we want to be able to support that. We want to be able to handle, you know, cross-node operations, distributed transactions. But you know, obviously, for performance reasons, you want to try not to do that too much. So that's. As I mentioned, your partitioning is a big consideration to take into account when you do this. Some other minor considerations, like with auto vacuum in Postgres, it excludes the XID used in snapshots. So we similarly had to do something special with the GTM to request an XID, but tell it to exclude it in global snapshots. So GTM, by the way, a lot of code was kind of taken from Post, like the proc array stuff was taken and used as a basis for that. So there's a lot of similarities there. And there are things we can do in the future, like with analyze. If an auto vacuum worker kicks off an analyze, you know, we know that that transaction is only going to run on that one node. So it doesn't really need to be in the snapshots on other nodes, but at the same time, it needs to be in other snapshots still running on that node. So we haven't implemented this yet, but you know, there are other little optimizations we can do. We also had to be careful with extending the C log. Like, I think it's every 8K or so, It checks the ID, and then it sees, oh, I need a new page, creates a new page. Well, in our case on the data nodes, not every data node is involved in every transaction. So we instead first look, okay, what page is it on? And if my current page is something else, oh, I need to create new pages. So that was a small thing that we had to change there. A new feature that we applied, committed recently is aggregate handling, very basic aggregate handling. I thought I'd talk about some changes we did for that. Vanilla Postgres, traditional Postgres, handles aggregates in two phases. There's a transition function and then a finalizer function. Postgres XC's distributed nature, because of its distributed nature, we had to add in an extra step. Collector function. So how it works is on all the data nodes, the first phase is going to execute the transition function, and then it's going to send the intermediate results to the coordinator, and then there it's going to combine those intermediate results before finally calling the finalizer function. As an example, average in Postgres, average is the sum of the sums. The sum of the sums divided by the sum of the counts, if you think of the cluster. So in regular Postgres, the first argument, it's going to sum up, and then it's going to count how many items it has so it can compute the average. And then in Postgres, it would just say, okay, take the total and divide by the count to get to the final result. Well, in Postgres XC, we have sort of these partial count. We have these partial sums and counts from each node. So what we do is we sum up the intermediate results as well as the counts, sum up the counts before applying the finalizer function. If you want to look at the code, you know, we would love to get more people involved. in development of that. We tried not to make the code too invasive, but you can look at the existing code. Right now, things are if-defed out. That may not always be the case, but that's how we're doing things right now. So if you just search for PGXC, you'll be able to see the changes that we made. They're not overly invasive. We have maybe, in terms of new coordinator logic, there are 7,000 to 8,000 lines of code. For modifications directly to the existing modules, it's about it's a little bit less than 4,000 lines. We could probably move things around and make that footprint a little bit less, too. In addition, the GTM is about 20,000 lines, but a lot of that is kind of code borrowed from Postgres. And it's kind of a separate thing. If you look through the code, you'll see is PGXC coordinator and is PGXC data node. I kind of mentioned most of the changes have to do with the coordinator, kind of figuring out how to handle the statement, whereas the data node just accepts XIDs and snapshots. But if you look through, you can kind of see what's going on. Okay, it's acting as a coordinator here, et cetera. And I'll pass it, before I pass it back to Suzuki-san regarding some test results, are there any questions? No, that's a good. I haven't done that yet. Interesting to see. When we went from 8.42 to 8.43, it was clean, but I don't know how much was changed there. I didn't compare. Yeah.
Does auto vacuum acquire the global visibility or extra, or how does it work? Get which transactions are still alive because. Might otherwise delete data which is globally still visible.
Just like anything else, it goes to the GTM and gets a global transaction ID, but it tells the GTM to exclude its own ID for others that are using snapshots, which kind of matches.
To determine if the tuple is still visible, it asks the global extra every time, or how does it work?
In general, I'd say we kind of mirror how regular Postgres works. We just kind of replaced, instead of you calculate getting your XIDs locally and your snapshots locally, we get it from the XIDs. So I think the way AutoVacuum works is each time it processes a tape, vacuums a table, it gets a new transaction and a new snapshot, I believe.
Yeah.
Transaction ID.
That's not what I mean. Oh, okay. The problem is that to determine which parts of the table it deletes, it has to know that specific tuple is still visible to other nodes. Because another node might later connect to that node.
Right.
How do you determine the oldest X-Men?
Yeah.
Oldest X-Men is determined by the GTM. And so it monitors when the transaction ends. As well.
Yeah, actually, when the snapshot is sent, it also sends over X-Men. Okay. Yeah.
I know there was discussion from 9.0, I don't know if it made it in or not, about being able to expose transaction semantics for doing things like parallel PG dump. How much of that type of thing would you be able to build on top of?
Developers meeting, we discussed this about this, and we found that, say, the snapshot cloning will be very useful to implement the parallel PGDAM. So we are planning to port this snapshot export capability to 9.1 if it's okay.
Okay, so it's basically the same.
Yeah.
It's a subset of what you're
doing.
Yeah. Shisan?
Yes. Does Postgres XC support large object replication?
I don't think we've tested that.
No, not yet. Not yet tested.
I think the key point is OID is replicated or
not. No, not replicated yet. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we should be very careful about OID handling. Yeah. So I don't think it's a problem in the toast or say local link. But if the OID link should be done among the different beta nodes, we should be very careful about how to resolve that.
When dealing with the partition data via hash, mm-hmm. are you designing to add partition tolerance to where I can lose a node but not lose any data?
I'm sorry?
With the distributed data via hash,
yeah.
are you designing for partition tolerance? So instead of having, you know, three rows spread across three machines, mm-hmm. you might have three rows on all three machines but also spread across those three machines.
I think long term, HA is something we've thought about, but for now it seems like we're focusing on, well, let's add more functionality first before making something highly available that you can't yet maybe do too much. But I think what we were planning on, what we thought might be kind of a simple solution was, say, you can take the database partition C on node 1 and use the new streaming replication and have a backup of it on node 2, node 2 is on node 3, node 3 is on node 4, et cetera, or do something like that.
So what's the behavior now if you lose a node?
Yeah, you're out of luck.
Yeah, and replication of the partition, I think it could be a very good solution for, say, for complicated statement. But it's kind of a priority issue. But I'm very interested in this.
Yeah, the current implementation is kind of rate zero.
Yeah.
How do you think you're going to implement join with like a hash-based partitioning?
Well, there are different ways. I think there's sort of short-term, long-term. We'll look at SQL Med actually /DB link, using some mechanisms there. But I also was involved in the development with GridSQL, where we do a lot of cross node joins and whatnot. So there are a couple of approaches we can take on that. But I think to get it working sooner and handle virtually anything, we'll probably first do something basic where we rely on a DB link or SQL Med type functionality and then go back and improve it. And hopefully improve it to the point where maybe data nodes are talking to each other directly to move data around and join instead of going through a coordinator long term.
I'm afraid we are running out of time. So because we're going to have, cluster hackers both after the closing meeting. So, I found that you have so many questions. So please say do this in the next both. So please let me present about some of the evaluation. So, and I'd like to tell you that even the NTT people who is supporting this project was very, very skeptical if this architecture really scales. So I'd like to show you how, the result. And so this is the list of the table of the DBT1. But we modified these tables slightly to share the distribution key. And you see that this is one group. This is distributed with the customer ID, and this is second group, which this is shopping cart, and so distributed with shopping cart ID, and also we separated the item and the stock stock information of the books from item table, and so this is distributed by the stock by item ID. So in this evaluation, we have three different way of the table distribution, and also the block, they are very stable. Item and country and author, they are all replicated. Oops. And this is a diagram of the evaluation environment. So we had 10 data node and coordinator, and one GTM, and four servers to run the DBT. DBT one benchmark. This is spec. All is quad core and a good amount of cache and memory. But for coordinate and data node, we have full disk configuration. So it's very fast. So I found that the disk is so fast, so the total workload is just a CPU bound. It is not good for XC environment. But so it is very severe, a severe environment for XC because we don't have any rooms for CPU to run for the coordinator. So this is a summary of the evaluation. Yeah, here's the number of servers we have and the throughput. So the topmost is the result of the vanilla PostgreSQL. So here's the scale factor. So with single configuration, you see that the scale is 0.7 around. So it tells that the coordinator consumes about 30% of the resource. But if you see that the scalability for the number of servers, well, this is the result, and this is the ideal one. So if we don't have any overhead, if we don't have any conflict among the servers, this is the ideal. But observed one is, I think it's very reasonable. And here's a network workload. You see that. So blue figure is the network workload without GTM proxy. So with GTM proxy, you see that the network workload is about half. And among the data node, this is all over. This is, they say, total throughput. So for each data node or coordinators, the network workload is about 4 megabyte per second. And also incoming is also total one. So you see that network workload is very reasonable. So one of the bottleneck could be GTM and coordinator. So I'm planning to have multiple NIC for GTM to divide the traffic for coordinators. So if we have, say, five NICs for GTM, then network traffic will be 1/5. And this is 1 week test. So we ran DBT1 for 1 week, a very long time. And overall traffic throughput is very stable. But as Mason explained, we have occasional drop, and we found that this is caused by vacuum analyze, and because vacuum analyze runs relatively long, and this XID is included in all the snapshot, but as he mentioned, the XID of vacuum analyze need not to appear in the snapshot in other nodes. So we are planning to improve this. And so you see that the current GTM and its infrastructure is very stable and really scales. Yeah, so this is what we're planning. And right now, we exclude the XID of vacuum to other snapshot, but we need some improvement in the case of vacuum analyze. Yeah. So here's an evaluation summary. So it scales reasonably, and it scales in both read and write. But to stabilize the performance, we need some more tweak. And network workload is still reasonable, but maybe some more. We need some more improvement for much more scalability. And but I'd like to say that the fundamental is established in this version. And we are looking for some what the use case we can think about this Postgres XC. Yeah, the first of all, it is very straightforward for the large scale application. And the second one is it's a bit complicated one, but for example, we have three applications or four or five, whatever. But their workload or the throughput and workload of these applications may be different and change from time to time. So if we configure all the database for these different applications one by one, we have to determine the number of servers and the number of disks and these configurations for each, and in that case it is not simple to find the most efficient overall configuration. So maybe so entity is now trying to configure all these different applications to accommodate it into some set of servers so that they can have a good workload distribution among the applications and among servers. And the other one is, if we have all these, say, coordinate and data nodes set, then we may be able to dynamically, expand or shrink the hardware to accommodate the same database according to the workload or according to the incoming transactions. So I'm not sure which of these them will be used for much more, but I'd like to have much more idea how the XC can be used not only for the big case but also for, say, for the cloud case or this kind of things. And I'd like, it's running out of time, so here's some WIP. And so within a month or so, we'll be able to provide order by, stored functions, subqueries, and views. And also among that, and also within the 4 months, we will have all these list of the capabilities. So I hope that by the end of this calendar year, Well, Postgres XC is much more like a single PostgreSQL database. And we welcome if you are interested in the development, we welcome you. So please contact us. And also, project homepage has several mailing lists to discuss with. So our team includes myself, Mason-san, and Pavan, who wrote the HOT for PostgreSQL 8.3. So please join us. Okay. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, so please, we will be in the clusters above.
So for me, here we go straight to the closing session, which are at 11:60.
Yeah. Thank you.